and just that word that came through as well. You know, Jesus is a light and the darkness trembles. Wow, that's a statement to be unpacked for a long time, because it takes a long time to unpack it. And we're going to be unpacking that a bit tonight, and I hope that I can do it some justice. And I felt God saying that exact thing. I felt Him say to me, what He wants me to preach on is shine your light, but trim the wicks. And we're going to explore what He's saying by that. But who's ever been scared of the darkness, even when they were small? Okay, my hand's very high. All right, I remember the first time that I really was scared of the dark. I was probably 6 years old. We were still living in Ladysmith in Natal. That's how I know I was 6 years old, because I moved shortly after that. And I woke up in the middle of the night. It was pitch black, and I could hear someone walking down the passage, convinced of it. And I could hear this noise, and I was frozen. I couldn't move. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't shout. I couldn't. And fear gripped me. And I don't know how long I was in that state for, but it felt like eternity. And I remember it so well that it's like it happened yesterday. That's how scared I was. That's how petrified I was, because I knew somebody was in the house, but they just never came around the corner. I was like waiting for them to come into my room, and they never did. And I couldn't work out why, but I was petrified. In the morning, when it was light, I realized that next to my bed were some silkworms. And I'd forgotten to change their leaves, and the leaves were dry, and the silkworms were crawling on the dry leaves, making the noise. So it was incredible how my imagination completely lied to me what the source of the noise was. I thought of the most impossible thing that could have happened, which was somebody walking down the passage for an hour. It was a long passage, yeah. And when Jesus came into my life, and I gave my life to God when I was about, I'm trying to think now the exact moment, I was about 8, 9 years old. And I remember clearly me having to address that fear. And I had to address it for a number of years. And I want to say now that I'm completely free of fear of the dark. And God brought healing to that horrendous memory that I had. And God speaks about it. And it says in John 8, verse 12, it says, again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And that word life is Zoe life, the fullness of life. And God gave me that. God gave me that even at that young age, and I felt it. God gave me the fullness of life, and it conquered fear. And we are to shine that light. And so I brought with me a lamp as an illustration of that light that we shine. And this is why the ladder's here, so you can all see the light. But now I need to, I need to quickly light it. Just hold on. So can you're scared of this lighter, but I want to use it, because the teenagers were on my farm yesterday and they were playing with it. And I lit it this afternoon and I got quite a fright, so don't get a fright. But I think it's prophetic, because watch here. So I don't know which teenager that, but it's fine. So there's our light, and this is called trimming the wick as I move it up and down. and you get it to the perfect height where it's still touching the oil, and mine's not touching the oil. So it might go out and do exactly what it needs to do by my illustration. So anyway, so there is the light shining. And so every single one of us, if you've given your life to God, have this light. And it's from God, this big flame that we are lit with. And it says in John 1, verse 4, it says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." So wherever I take this lamp, I could switch off the lights now, but I can't because there's light outside. But if I switch off every light inside here and I block the curtains, or I wait until 8 o'clock at night for tonight, this light will be seen from around the room. No darkness would be able to exist here. The darkness might be able to exist there, but it cannot exist here. This chases the darkness away, and the darkness cannot overcome the light. The light overcomes the darkness. And so we've been called to carry this light, all right? In Matthew 5, verse 13, it says, "You are the salt of the earth, but the salt has become tasteless. How can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by people. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden." So this is Jesus who is speaking. "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand or a ladder, and gives light to all who are in the house. Your light must shine before people in such a way that you may see your good works, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." So we are to show it off. We are almost to brag in it as we shine our light, as we show it to the world. There was a word downstairs, and it said, how much do we show our joy? You know, if God has given us joy, He is joy, how much do we show it? And the person that shared it was challenged on how much do we show our joy. In the same way, this is part of our light, is joy. We are to show it. We are to walk in joy at all times. How's my lamp doing? Here we go. Trimmed it a bit, but it might get dry. All right. So we are called to show joy. We are called to be the light and all the fruits of the Spirit. Proverbs 20, verse 27, it says, "The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all his innermost parts." So that not only does this light shine outwards, but it's meant to shine inwards. It's meant to shine on the inside, looking for the dark places in your heart, which was exactly what Benny shared now. In other words, are there hidden rooms that you're hiding, that you have darkness inside? And are there things that aren't in the light that are now in the darkness? So that is exactly that word. So I'll read that proverb again. It says, "The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all his innermost parts." And that lamp is set inside of us to do exactly that, to bring transformation, to bring freedom, to bring wholeness, a measure of wholeness. Do you know that wholeness can be measured? We will never be whole, but we can surely strive to have a measure of wholeness, that God can measure us. It says in the Word that we will be measured. And then in Matthew, and this is after a very hectic scripture or chapter, Matthew 24, Jesus is talking about the end times. And he's talking about false prophets. He's talking about those who think they're saved but actually aren't. And Sure, go read Matthew 24. I didn't want to digress there, but go and have a read. And it adds weight to Matthew 25, which I'm about to read. It says this: "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, 'Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Since there will be not enough for us and for you, rather go to the dealers and buy for yourselves.' And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered, 'Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.'" Now that's a hectic scripture, because, and if we go through it slowly, we can just see how hectic it is. It says, so there were 10 virgins that took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. So all 10 had good intention. All 10 had the same objective. All 10 were declared righteous or pure, because they were virgins. So they were all on the same trajectory, shall I say. But it says 5 were foolish and 5 were wise. But now we don't know why yet that 5 were foolish and 5 were wise. In verse 3 it says, "For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them." Ah, now there's a key. What does that mean? We'll get there. "But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept." So all of them actually fell asleep, which they shouldn't have done. They weren't perfect, but their lamps kept on burning. "But at midnight there was a cry, 'Here is the bridegroom, come out and meet him.' Then all those virgins rose." So both 5 who were wise and all five who were foolish rose and trimmed their lamps. So what does that mean? What does trimming the lamps mean? And this is what I felt God say to me in terms of what I should preach. It says, shine your light and trim your lamps. Okay. This wick is going up. All right. But it's still doing all right. So trimming an oil wick, so this I had to search, because I just switch on a light bulb at home. I don't know these things all that well, and it's been a long time since Eskom gave trouble. So trimming an oil lamp wick is essential for a clean, bright, and efficient flame. A properly trimmed wick ensures a steady, even burn, preventing smoke and soot while maximizing light output. Without trimming, the wick can become charred, frayed, and difficult to light, leading to a dim, smoky flame or even a flame that won't stay lit. So I've got an example of that, and I didn't even have to do this. We just had one that was clear and one that was smoky. So this one, you'll see that it's got no oil in the bottom, so it ran dry. And because it ran dry, and this one is about to run dry, you see there, the flame is now starting to die. We're going to have to buy a new wick, I'm sorry. But this wick is about to run dry, and the wick has actually left the oil now, because it's burning itself. So what's actually happening is the wick is burning instead of the oil, okay? And what's going to happen? Yeah, no, this is going to go out. So you see there. So now the wick is outside of the oil, and therefore I'm in trouble because now I can't get back down to the wick. And there, whoops, it's out. Okay, I hope there isn't a smoke alarm in here. Can you come and make it dead?
Okay, so you get the idea.
So if I'd have left that, it would have gone black like this. Okay, so that's exactly what was about to happen with the virgins and their oil lamps. So they would have run out of oil. And with running out of oil, they themselves would have been burnt, would have been burning. So because this oil had drawn up, because the wick had drawn up all the oil, it began to burn itself. Does that make sense? And it couldn't sustain the flame. That's exactly what happens with us. Unless we are connected to the source, we're going to burn up, and our flame will go out. How many people do I know personally who, man, were on fire for God at one stage, but have burnt up, and oh no, I can't see the flame in them anymore, and it breaks my heart. But we're going to go in and find out how to be wise, and this is what I'm hoping to challenge us on. Is let's remain wise. Let's not be foolish. Let's remain wise. So how do we trim our wick? So that wick had left the oil. I've gone ahead of myself slightly. But you trim the wick by cutting off everything of you that is not good for burning anymore, that God can't use. Okay? So and that's through repentance. So for example, this power through position course that we've announced tonight, for me, that's essential. To be able to go and go through your cupboards, which is your past, and to find out, okay, God, which are these rooms that I've had locked for a long time? Which are the things that I don't even know about? Let me go and have a spring clean. And you go in. And God actually reveals things about your past that are affecting your future. You see, that's what it means to walk in freedom and to walk in wholeness, is you're not allowing your past to dictate your future. You're allowing God to deal with your past, to heal your past. You cut it off in terms of being healed, so that whatever light you shine is pure and bright and doesn't cause a stink. So repentance, Hebrews 6 verse 1. Again, in the downstairs room when we were praying, there was another word which confirmed this exact scripture. It says, therefore, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. And it goes through the foundations of our faith. But the part, and the word that Jock brought was, he saw some calves that were being weaned. And what they do is they put a muzzle on the calves so that whenever they go to drink, the cow actually kicks them off so that they can't drink anymore. So it's more painful for if they drink than what's going to happen with the mastitis that they get. But We are needing to be weaned off the milk so that we can move on to maturity. And that comes with repenting from our dead works. So everything we do that is not plugged into the oil is dead. It's dead works. Only the light can shine in longevity with the oil, because it's the oil that's meant to be burning. So this is basically part two of last week's message, where Sean was preaching on John 15, where it says, he is the vine, we are the branches. We do nothing. We only be a branch and produce fruit. There's nothing we can do. We can't go and source the nutrients. We can't go and find what we need. God provides everything we need. As we are a branch, we rely completely on him, and we just are, and we produce fruit. That's exactly what it's saying here as well. Whatever light we shine is not of ourselves. Because like we've seen, if we shine it of ourselves, it cannot last. And so the foolish virgins were going to go into burnout mode, where they were no longer plugged into the source, but they were burning their own light. And as soon as you burn your own light, it's not sustainable, and you're going to burn out. And your light, like this one, has gone dead. Because as they trimmed, it went away from the oil. And so, we ran out of oil, technically. And so, there are three things that I felt God saying to us that we need to respond to in terms of repentance. And the first one is cutting away the fruit of our broken pasts. Is everything in our past, have you been able to go through it? Not around it, not sidestepped it. Have we allowed God to take us through it and bring us out the other side healed? That he is to be glorified through that. The second one was allowing your own ideas. The other thing we need repentance from is allowing our own ideas to rise above the word of God. What I mean by that is what goes in comes out. In other words, we've got ideas that aren't of God. The ideas we've picked up from maybe TV, from a false prophet, which Matthew 25 warns us against. We've maybe picked up ideas that are not of him, and that we're preaching, or that we are trying to stand on a soapbox and shout, but they're not of God. And God is saying he wants us to repent of that. The third one is allowing hidden sin to grow. In Proverbs 20, verse 27, like we read, is that he searches us. And when he does search us, when God does search us, he's a gentleman. He'll do it so lovingly, so kindly, with so much grace. And it's beautiful to watch. I remember when I was dating Kanya. Kanya was a lot more spiritually mature than I was at that stage in my life. I was nowhere, and Kanya was someone who was chasing God and knew where she was going. And I'll never forget the one day she said, oh, God's dealing with me on the way I speak to people. I'm going, is that all that? You know the big things that God is dealing with me with? It's got nothing to do with the way I speak to people. It's to do with everything else. And I'm thinking, I'll never get there where the biggest sin is just the way I spoke to someone. And God has, over the years, dealt with me like an onion. He takes off layer by layer by layer, and he gets rid of the big stuff first. He takes that away. That's healed. But then he reveals the smaller stuff or the medium stuff. And then he deals with that. And then he starts dealing with the small stuff. And you know what? He never stops dealing with us, because there's always something that God is refining on us. There's always something that is burning of ourselves, that it's not only the oil. And so it's those three things that I feel that I need to bring to us as a church. The one is cutting away the fruit of a broken past. The second one is allowing your own ideas to rise above the word of God. Comes, goes in, comes out. and allowing hidden sin to grow. And God wants to deal with those things. In Matthew 25, verse 8, it says, keep the oil filled as you trim. Stay close to him. If you remember, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down as a fire, flame. In the same way, we need the Holy Spirit. So the oil is a representation of the Holy Spirit. It's the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the interesting thing is, the oil can't be borrowed or transferred. It says here in Matthew 25, verse 8, it says, the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourself. You see, we can only procure the oil from the source. I can't give you some of mine, and you can't give me some of yours. It's only from the source. And Christ is the source. He is the doorway, and the Holy Spirit is that sustaining oil. You see, and there are two other things that I want to say that I felt God saying, is that what happens is, exactly what's happened with this one, is that the wick has left the oil. And so what happens is, good intentions, you may have like dealt with your past, you may have, you know, you were shining, you were going the right way, and you shared your innermost secrets with someone. And in that process, shame and condemnation has crept in. And because of that shame and that condemnation, you unplugged from the source. And that I want to pray into to tonight. I believe there's one or two people here that you've kind of been hurt because of what I'm speaking about. And God wants to heal that. And God wants to plug you back into the oil. The other one is, we value tradition instead of seeking the Holy Spirit, because we're creatures of habit. In other words, you know, we might come into a church, and the first thing we judge is what? The worship team. And then we judge the preach. And you walk out, and go, oh, you know, I didn't like the way the guy sang the song, and he just kept on repeating that same verse over and over again, and it really got irritating, and, you know. But what you don't know is, the Holy Spirit was speaking, and that needed to be massaged in. That specific scripture or that specific verse that we were singing over and over and over. But because you're going there to sing campfire songs, let's call it that, what it is, if you're not engaging, it's only campfire songs, then you will get irritated by it. But if you're going there to engage and you are sensing and you in touch with what the Holy Spirit is doing, man, don't stop. Because this is truth, and it's massaged, and it's massaging into my own heart. Rather judge how you can apply what God is saying. In other words, every judgment you have, and this is what happens, and it's a telltale sign that I've had to check in my own heart a few times. Whenever I become critical, it means I've unplugged. Guaranteed. As soon as you come in here with a critical heart, with a critical spirit, it means you've unplugged. You cannot be plugged into what God has for you, to the source, and be critical. You can't. And that's happened to me a few times. And I've had to repent, and I've had to say, God, I'm sorry. And as soon as I plug back into the oil, that judgment leaves me. And I no longer, I'm there to connect with God. You see, I made a promise. There are two covenants in my life that I will never back down from. Never. The one is to my wife. That's a covenant I will never back down from. I've got safeguards in place. I've got things that I do to make sure that I'm never tempted, or there are things that, because you know what? One day when we're in heaven, it's like this guy that got caught out having an affair at the Coldplay concert. You know, so if you haven't been watching the news, I mean, it's on the BBC News, it's on CNN, it's on all the news channels, but it's exactly what we're talking about. His face and his girlfriend's face was plastered all over TV, now all over social media, and the whole world knows about it. The whole world knows about it. And that's what it says is going to happen in the end days. That everything that we do, say, think of will be exposed. Well, there's an example. Where was I? Huh? Oh, yes, there's a covenant. So my covenant is to my wife. Thank you for reminding me. And it's true. I have made a covenant, and I remind myself of that covenant every single day. And I will not let anything try and upset that. In the same way, I've made a covenant with God, which is even a greater covenant. And my covenant is, I don't care how many of you offend me. I don't care what happens. I am never going to stop being plugged into him. Never. It's a covenant. No matter, because it says we are all going to be offended. It's a trap. What's the Greek word? It's scandalos. It's a trap that is waiting for us to be caught. So scandalos, that word, is actually a trap, and it's what they use to catch a bird. It's like a box and a stick, and the bird goes over and eats the food inside or under the box, and you pull away the stick. The box goes down, and you're trapped. That's what offense is. That's what offense is. It's waiting to grab me. It's waiting to grab every single one here. And we will be offended by someone in church. If you haven't been, wow. Either you're a liar or you're very new. You will be offended by church, by a leader, by someone. And so if you think that when the offense comes, it's bad, don't think it's bad, it's just normal. Because what the enemy is trying to do is snuff out your wick. That's what he's trying to do. That is the biggest trick of the enemy. Let's confuse their communication so much that they don't know what each other meant by what they were saying, and you're going to make up your own mind. Yep. And so what happens is the offense unplugs you from the oil. And you're like, goes out. How many times have I seen that? And I'm imploring to everyone that's here right now is to hold your covenant with God, because your covenant is not to man, it's to God. After God, yes, we do have a covenant towards each other. And we do, you know, if all these lamps are together, man, it's beautiful. And what we're able to do is help clean what has been lost. In other words, the clarity of this glass has been lost. And we are there to help each other to clean it out. So there are five things we're praying for now. Are you ready? So what we're going to do in response is just have a moment of reflection. And but the five things I want to just say again, that I want you just to hear them, and I want you to measure them in terms of your own light. The one is, God is calling you to cut away the fruit of perhaps a broken past. There are things that have happened in your past that you haven't dealt with yet, or there's fruit that you don't know why it's bad fruit the whole time. And God wants to reveal that fruit, or the root of that fruit, to you. Okay? That's the first one. The second one is, you've allowed your own ideas to rise above Him. You've tried to raise your wick higher than it's meant to be. Three, you've allowed hidden sin to grow. And there are things that you aren't prepared to open the door to. And God wants you to confess that, not publicly, but in love and in confidentiality. Then the fourth one is, you feel shame and condemned. In other words, there are things in your life that you don't go there because there's shame and condemnation. And God wants to set you free from that. And then the fifth one is, we value tradition instead of seeking the Holy Spirit. In other words, we're judging not by the Holy Spirit, but by our own traditions. In other words, we've started to have a critical heart. And we've started to make judgments that are not of Him. But now, this can't all happen now, because every single one of us would have to stand, because I'm standing for a few here too. And so I think, Penny, you can help me. You can climb in whenever you need to. But I believe the way forward is to have a prayer, and we can pray together that, number one, we are covenanted to Him. And that this covenant that we've made, like Benny was saying, you know, he gave his life to God, I don't know how many years ago, 40 years ago. For me, it's close to that too. Sure, I'm getting old. But it's to say, you know what, God? I don't care how painful this message is to hear or for me to even preach it. But you know what? I'm not going to step back. I'm going to be branched into You. I'm going to draw everything from You, and nothing of me is going to be alive anymore. We sang the song, Lord Jesus, You're the center of it all. And that's what God is saying to us. Were we lying when we sang that? Or do we mean it? And so let's pray that first. If we can all stand. Father, we want to thank You for Your cross. And Jesus, we want to thank You for Your blood. Thank You, Jesus, that You have died for our sins, and You have died to give us freedom. And it was for freedom that You have set us free. So pray after me. Dear Lord Jesus, thank You for Your death. Thank You for Your life. And thank You for Your Holy Spirit. Thank You that I am saved, and that I am Yours, and I am in You, and You are in me. Thank You for Your light that You have placed inside of me, and I vow to be Your light. in every circumstance, in every walk of life, and to everyone I meet. Because you are worth it. Because you died for me. And you paid the ultimate price. And I love you. Lord, I pray that no matter what offense comes, that no matter what happens to me externally, that I will never leave you nor forsake you, as you will never leave me and you will never forsake me. Amen. Amen. Have a seat. Now I'm... All right. I think if the five have spoken to you, this is why we're in church. This is why we have accountable relationships. This is why we're in communities. This is why we build relationally. This is why we go for hikes. So that we can walk these things out together. That there's a level of trust, that there's a level of transparencies, that there's a level of understanding each other. And so if one of these five have spoken to you, then make a promise to yourself now that you're going to go and speak to someone this week. Not next week, this week, maybe even tonight. That this you're going to sort out. Because I believe that this is what God is saying to us now. I mean, it's been confirmed a few times. It was in the prayer. It was in the worship. And we need to move with this. And so these things happen in our homes. These things happen where we pray for each other because we love each other.
I really do feel God is on this. And I don't want to just move on. But what I do want to do, because I know we're coming to the end of the service in the sense that, you can't pray for every single person here individually. And, you know, but I do, what I want to do, and I'm going to ask all the community leaders, that we pick up on this preach on Wednesday and actually take a time within your communities and maybe even a small group of guys like three or two, you know, that we confess that area of our lives. So what John will do is he'll take those 5 points, how many? 6 points, 5 points, and put it in each community. And I want you guys to be intentional. This is the Lord speaking. It's not John. It seems like every single word is just tied up so well. And then you know it's the Spirit moving. Huh? And so let's not just be hearers of the word. Let's be intentional with this. Let's take it within the community. Take those 5 points. And pray that and confess it and bring it out. Whatever that area is, maybe you know, your wick is not touching that oil right now and you feel that you are burning up, that you are consumed, and it's not the Lord working in you, it's just you. And all the points that John shared, I can identify with some of them too. And the Lord's talking. I want us to respond. And so let's work this in the communities on Wednesday too. And then it doesn't have to stop there. We can and follow up even after that. Hey, how's it going? That since you've confessed that thing, since you've brought it to the Lord, how's it going? And to walk with each other in that, because we want transformation from them. We want to, at the end result, isn't that I've just prayed about it? It's that there's fruit coming from it. Okay.
All right. So let's close in prayer. Father, we want to thank you for everything that you've done tonight. Lord, I pray that every seed that's been sown tonight would be on fertile ground. That, Lord, that as your Spirit has come to cut open and to reveal and to and to expose, Lord, things in our own hearts, Lord, I pray that you give us the boldness, the courage, and the strength to do what your Holy Spirit is asking us to do. Lord, I pray that you would give us the strength to repent to each other. Lord, I pray that like Peter, when he, on the day of Pentecost, he got a boldness that was only from you. Lord, I pray that each and every single one of us would just have that boldness to confirm that you are our risen King and that we are yours and that you are everything to us. And we do that in public. We do that in a quiet place, Lord, and that our fruit can shine. That, Lord, that you can boast about us, Lord, as we grow fruit for your kingdom, Lord. I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.